If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is happening? It is the Nintendo Powercast, episode 374, I think. I'm your host, N64, Josh Crawler. What's up, dude?
Hey, how's it going, Crawler? Coming at you. Are we streaming to the right place?
Johnny, what's going on? Yeah, we're just on YouTube.
Yeah, but are we on Nintendo Powercast YouTube?
We're on N64, Josh. Not Halo.
Okay,
you guys are hilarious. I love you.
I'm doing well. I'm definitely not playing Fall Guys right now. Definitely
perfect.
Not.
Perfect. Cheesy, how are you?
Hey, it's me, Cheesy C. Cheesy like rom com. C like the ocean.
What?
As
your new little, thing.
Little shout out to Sean Capri. He does that for his intros for the podcast. He's like, it's me, Sean Capri, Sean like Connery, Capri like the pants. And
Sean Capri?
On Twitter.
And what podcasts?
On Nintendo Drive, We the Gamer Cast.
There we go. All right. Go check him out, everybody.
There you go.
Go check them out. Sean's awesome. A fantastic person. Yeah. Hey, before we get started, Smash Bros. Tournament happening the end of this month. So make sure you are signed up at n64josh.com/smash. Speaking of n64josh.com, there are new articles over there happening on the regular. Also, more YouTube videos happening. And we have a Patreon where you guys can get a NPC Wired episode. Okay. But I'm going to tell you this. If you want to be able to support the show by doing nothing except for listening, go listen to it on Spotify. That seriously helps us out. So we greatly, greatly appreciate it. Before we say anything else, jump into the Discord, n64josh.com/Discord. And Crawler, where can people find you?
You guys can find me hanging out in the Discord or on I don't stream on Twitch. That's funny. TikTok and Twitter usually are the best spots. Go follow me on TikTok. I'll have some stuff coming out this week. I have one video in editing. I have another couple that I have to make. So, yeah.
They could still probably find you on Twitch. You're just not streaming.
True.
Yeah.
What that we did a couple times.
A couple times, yeah. There are some
like Mario Party.
Twitch deletes them after how long? So they're probably not there anymore. But
I think if you're a Twitch Prime member, it's 6 months or something.
Oh, okay. Then yeah, maybe there's some bots there. You never know.
Johnny, where can we find you?
Johnny Bo everywhere. I've been streaming a lot over on TikTok and Twitch. Been playing Fall Guys a lot. If you want to do some custom lobbies, it's been super fun. But and then I rant on Twitter and stuff. So yeah, just follow me everywhere.
Old man yells at cloud.
Pretty much.
Cheesy, how about you?
You can find me on Twitter, TikTok, Twitch, Instagram, CheesyC64, CheezyC64.
All right. And just like Johnny, I am streaming quite a bit on TikTok, and we're doing a lot of more community games. We did Monster Hunter last weekend. We're going to try and do another one of those. We ended up taking some brand new people through some of the early missions, which was pretty fun. And then we did some Fall Guys. I did an Among Us stream. Among Us is super fun now, you guys. The new abilities. Wow. I had some insane games as the imposter. Like,
Among Us has always been fun. Yeah, Among Us has always been fun.
We'll discuss a little bit of Among Us here because it is way better with those abilities. So, and then Fall Guys as well, and it's been great. We've been racing, and
that's really cool.
Crawler just called an emergency meeting.
I just realized me and Crawler are wearing the same shirt.
Oh, we are. Awesome.
Twinsies.
I love it. That's amazing. So yeah, a lot of cool stuff. Both Johnny and I are being spotlighted on TikTok this week on Tuesday. So you can check out our streams there starting at 3 p.m. Pacific. Cheesy, are you getting spotlighted this week?
I haven't talked to Jared yet, but that's okay. The plan.
You probably got an email.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, cool. Perfect. So
go follow me on TikTok so I can stream too. Follow me.
There you go. Go follow.
There's 2,000 of you or so a week. So just all of you go do it. I'm not even asking for a dollar. Just go hit a like button. Follow.
There you go. The other thing is I am going to start content creation coaching, and I'm starting by doing some free sessions. So if that's something you would be interested in, hit me up, info@n64josh.com, or my DMs are open on Twitter. So I'm probably going to do anywhere from 10 to 20 sessions for free. So if you'd like to do that, please jump in. And there are some limited edition stickers right now on my wife's site by going to n64josh.com/stickers. And the first 10 orders get a bonus sticker. So yeah, n64josh.com/stickers to check that out. And that's it. Let's nice. Talk first about Among Us. So we did there was like a TikTok sponsored Among Us stream that that I was a part of on Sunday. It was super fun. The gal that they were highlighting hit 3.5 million followers during the live, which was just fantastic. And it was so much fun. It was so much fun. It was just creators, and we tried some of the modes with the abilities and was shocked at how cool it was. I was the imposter.
Nobody believed you, I'm sure, right? Because you're just a habitual liar.
But here's the thing. the both times I was the imposter, we won the games so fast because I would hit the sabotage and then stand by the box and not hit anything. And nobody would come and take care of it. And that's how
have they never played Among Us before?
They had, but they were nervous about coming next to me, I guess. I don't know. So, the second one, I was the imposter. I looked like Master Chief and I hit the sabotage, and me and another guy that looked like Master Chief, I think his name was Angry Fat Vegan is his TikTok, if you guys want to check him out. And he was over trying to hit the button. Well, I had the shapeshift ability. So I turned myself into him. So it looks just like him. His name is above in everything. And the other imposter came and killed him. I was then running around not hitting this, and we ended up winning. But
he had a dead body somewhere. Oh wow.
Yeah. So
Among Us is probably hard to play now.
I guess there's like an engineer class to where you can vent, so you'll look suspicious if you're the engineer.
As a regular crewmate.
And so there's a guardian angel. So if you die first, you can protect
but you can like stop somebody from getting murdered.
I don't know if they can. I don't know how it works exactly because I didn't get a chance to try.
I need to read Innersloth's, like, they have blog updates and stuff. I need to read. I guess I need to go read up on their updates. I own the game on like 8 different platforms. Pretty much everywhere but PlayStation. I didn't buy it on PlayStation.
Well, we can do 15 players on, especially on that big map. So we should pick a date. Maybe we can talk after the show where we do Among Us with the community. And if we have enough people, we'll split off into different groups and play with you guys individually. And if we only have like 15 people that want to do it, then we'll all play together. So
getting me to stream again, huh?
There you go.
You got to be on your best behavior. If we open up voice chat, you can't be saying anything sus.
That's right.
Like, yeah. Not
well. We've got a lot of mods and stuff that we can, you know, we with the people we trust. So if you want to be able to get into voice chat, I would say come hang out in some of the live streams and maybe some of the hangouts we do in Discord after the fact. Sometimes where we just chat, can get to know you better and stuff. So, but yeah, Among Us is a lot of fun. Did you have a particular question, Cheesy, about Among Us?
Yeah, just all the abilities. I didn't know that they had updated it, and it sounds really cool.
It really is. Like, I cannot recommend it enough. And we only just scratched the surface with the abilities, and everybody was just having a great time. There was so much laughing going on. You know how Among Us is. As long as you don't get too serious,
Is there a new map besides Airship? Have they been added more maps?
Oh, there's like four maps, I think.
But yeah, there's three original, and then they added Airship.
There's supposed to be a new one called Submerged, I believe, and it has not dropped yet. It's from like submarine.
The original is the only fun one. I think the other ones are
too like the
big.
Outdoor one. The outdoor one's pretty fun.
Yeah, I don't mind the bigger
Myrna
ones.
HQ or whatever.
If the look that Johnny had
was disgusted.
Yeah, he was. Go ahead, Johnny. Tell us about the other Among Us maps.
The other Among Us maps suck. It's only the original.
The Skeld.
I've only played the game like three times, and that's the only one that I can wrap my head around. So,
there you go. All right, cool. Bayonetta 3, you guys.
Before we get into Bayonetta, I did something this week, and it was nerve wracking.
Okay.
So I have an OLED now. That is my main Switch. My original launch version Switch is my kid's Switch now. And it had always kind of just lived in my dock. I had taken it on vacations and stuff like that, and it had done fine. But I've had it since Mario Odyssey launch day is when I got my Switch. So I've had it for coming up on 5 years now, or is that past 5 years? I don't even remember
five
what
years.
That is.
It will be.
So, yeah, so lithium ion batteries, as they do, fade. And so it would go from like 100% to 16% in like 2 minutes. And so I knew that the lithium ion battery needed to be changed. So I ordered one off Amazon, I think like $20 or something like that. It comes with the tri-tip and the tri-wing and the Phillips heads that you need to take apart the three layers of the back of the Switch. I did have two side switch screws on the Joy-Con rails were really stuck, and I had to wait for some more tools to be able to try to drill them out almost with little drill bits and kind of get them out. One is still stuck in there, and I ended up having to kind of gently just break the back of the case off of it. So it's able to go back on, but just the whole process of changing and doing surgery on a Switch was so nerve wracking. So you get the back plate open. There's a back plate covering the battery and everything else. You have to take the SD receiver bay off, and it has just a quick clip into the motherboard or whatever. And then there's like five more screws that you take that back plate off. And then the battery is stuck in the battery bay with adhesive. And so you have a scraper that you have to try to scrape this thing up. And it was
good times.
I was worried I was going to like the amount of force I was exerting with like holding it, trying to rip it off. I was going to break the screen or something like that, but I got it put back together. It seems to be doing well. Like I can't imagine doing like the case swaps on the Joy-Con or anything like that. Like, I've had my fill. I don't want to do it again. but I did it. So have you guys had any battery issues with any? Josh has like 18 Switches, so.
I haven't had any battery issues, but one time Hannah accidentally spilt coffee on my Pro Controller. And so like coffee was inside of the Pro Controller. And so we had to take off all the screws and the plates and the handles. And so that was kind of stressful because it was the Splatoon 2 Pro Controller. And I'm like, oh, man, this thing's dead. But actually, it might perform better than it did. I think it's just caffeinated now and it's doing well.
I did the Scotch tape mod on my Pro Controller so that it doesn't get misinputs on the D-pad. So I just covered up some of the sensors is all. But I feel like there was one ribbon cable that was maybe a little bit of a pain to deal with. Do you remember that, Cody? Was it the same for you? Just one? Was there one ribbon cable that was kind of a pain?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of the same thing that Crawler was dealing with, is that it's just like one little thing could go wrong. And I'm not a pro. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, yeah. I bought
a $12 silicone soldering mat just for this whole purpose. Wow. Because it has little spaces in it to take apart stuff like this, and you can put the screws and everything, because I didn't want to lose them. Mm-hmm. So I I spent a little bit of money just to take this apart, because I didn't want to lose screws or worry about anything like that.
Yeah. My way of fixing things is just buying a new one. Like Joy-Con drift, I'll just buy a new Joy-Con. That's fine.
Yeah, I get it. The one thing I've swapped out a ton is my GameCube controller. I've swapped the guts out of that so mm-hmm. many times for Smash.
That's easy enough. That's like five components. It's not that bad.
Not really dealing with ribbon cables and stuff like that. It's pretty easy. So, but always kind of fun to do. I don't, you know, like I have a few different kits that I picked up for like opening up. Well, this is a little off topic, but like, I've got a Game Boy game right here. If you don't have that special tool to get those screws out, you can heat up the ink from inside a ballpoint pen. And while it's kind of soft, with all the plastic soft, you can press it over the top of this screw, let it cool, and then actually open your Game Boy games like that. So kind of fun if you're changing a battery or something, you know, for like Samus or Pokemon or whatever. So but Bayonetta, it is here, it is happening. Bayonetta 3, initial thoughts. Cheesy, kick us off. Is this a series you've played, and are you looking forward to the third one?
It is not a series that I've played, but I know how excited everybody is for it. I know that she's a witch. I know that she looks nothing like the ones that I'm familiar with in Hocus Pocus or Halloween Town.
What a throwback.
Yeah, I know, right? Do people even know that reference anymore? No, I mean, I think it looks really cool. It's awesome that it didn't get delayed. I don't think that any of us thought it was getting delayed. I think at some point we said that it was coming out in October because it's spooky time. But yeah.
Oh, this doesn't have the naive angel mode on it.
I will show you. I have videos queued up.
This is a little too mature for our audience here.
Remember, if you're on Spotify, you can watch also. So just look down at your phone right now and you'll see video playing. That's how.
So real quick, the naive angel mode, for those that don't know, is like a way to censor any kind of nudity. Which, I mean, like, she's not really nude.
No, I mean, this is a joke, never right? Mind. But never mind. It doesn't really show anything, right? It's just like her wearing a bikini. Anything,
but Cheesy saying she's not really nude as she's, like, not wearing any clothes behind her hair.
So it reminds me, like, I grew up in a Christian neighborhood, and my next-door neighbors, they had this, like, box for any time that you would watch movies. It would, like, censor a bad word, and so like when it was about to cuss, it would say like poop, and like that's kind of what this reminds me of. Like
wait, the best was Die Hard on TV, and it was Yippee-ki-yay melon farmers.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Not mother truckers or anything just like that.
Just bleep it. It's better if you bleep it, I think.
The other one was Yippee-ki-yay monkey fighters. That was the
worse. That seems like animal abuse there.
I know.
The worst one the that 80s. I had was we were watching Nemo, and I guess butt is too vulgar, you know, when Nemo goes and touches the boat and they call it the butt. So yeah. It's like Nemo comes back and is like, or the fish, they're like, oh, he touched the tail. All right. But anyway, that's what this reminds me of. And I mean, I guess it's good to have options, but it also is like taking away from the artistic vision.
This is not an actual, like, it's an actual option, right? But it's not because they wanted to make it more.
It's still a mature
friendly.
Game.
It's just a joke. It's Camilla's like
their tweet was funny because it's like, so you can play in the living room with no judgment, smile emoji, like.
So I don't think people are thinking, oh, I would play this game, but it's too risque for me. So now that they have the naive angel mode.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a joke, but I do think that maybe the reason for it is, like, if you're playing it on Twitch or you're streaming it, maybe it's like a way for you not to get your stream taken down.
You can play Witcher. You can play Witcher with the nudity and stuff on it on Twitch.
Yeah.
If you can do Conan Exile or whatever, you can do
as long
anything.
As it's not
as long as it's the game, like, and it's not real life and you're not streaming certain things. Yeah. I mean, if it's in the game, like, and it was rated, then you're good to go.
Oh. All right.
But yeah, no, I think, you know, the developers were having some fun, and they know the how hyper sexualized the game is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it was a joke. It's a fun little.
I mean, the Bayonetta games have always kind of been self-aware. I mean,
yeah. And Kamiya is like, he's a troll. He's a big old troll. If you ever looked at his Twitter account, big old troll.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
If you guys are excited for this game and you've already played 1 and 2, I would recommend checking out the Ninja Gaiden collection, because fantastic games, very much in the same vein. Very difficult, especially the first one. I think the way that they've set, because I started playing the first one again on Xbox, it's on Game Pass. I think the hard difficulty was the only difficulty available in the original game on Xbox. So if you want nice challenge,
the Ninja Gaiden 2 is it's not as hard. Like it's still challenging, but it's not like the original.
It's not as hard, and there's more difficulty settings. They did eventually come out with Ninja Gaiden Black, which had Ninja Dog mode. If you were terrible at the game, they would let you turn that on. And so
baby mode.
Yeah. So then you could, but it is available on Switch. I just wanted to double check that it is available on Switch.
And North America is actually getting a special edition.
Oh,
could get it.
I'm gonna
probably
go to
be a My Nintendo exclusive.
No, it's at game. You can go get it at games. You can go.
You see, there's physically a GameStop exclusive, right, like Funko bundle or something.
I'm glad I'm not into Funko.
it's a Bayonetta.
I really am, because that just I enough of my money goes to Lego and video games and other stuff. Like, I don't need another thing. I've never gotten into Funko, and I'm glad.
So I need to beat 1 and 2. I started each of them like 3 different times.
Say, I have one. I've not played much of 2, but go ahead. Sorry, go, John.
The thing that always like deters me from playing those games is the ranking system. It's hard to get good ranks. And like I'm getting stone ranks all the time, and like it's fun to play, but I don't want them to tell me I suck.
Japanese games always be judging people.
But now I'm just going to try to get past that and try to beat them, because they are fun to play. They're really good action games. But if you're trying to get high scores and high rankings, like it's rough. It's challenging.
It can be, for sure. And speaking of the first game, September, you're going to be able to pick it up. I did mention it in the NPC mini that I did talking about Bayonetta, but you will be able to get the physical, which was only available via special limited edition in Japan, I believe, because
Europe might have had it too. I'm not sure, but it came. You got both versions in it.
I know they had the steelbook. I know for sure the Japanese version, and it could have been Europe as well, had two spots for each cart in the steelbook I've thought about importing because I'm such a fan of the series. So I think we need to do a little race and see who can complete the first two games before you guys. Are you guys down?
I'm down.
You're down. Yeah.
All right. I don't know how far I am in Bayonetta 1, but
I feel like.
But do we have to restart? Do we have to restart, or can we go from where we ended? Because I don't know where I'm at. I'm probably like six chapters in. I don't know.
Let's just go from where we are, and then it sounds like we're all going to start two at the same time. So,
or yeah, give or take. I think I started two. I started both of them.
Let's give ourselves a couple weeks to get caught up, because I do want to finish one, and that's why I never started two. I bought two when it came out, and I played one, and then I fell off. So let's give ourselves a couple weeks to get caught up on one if we want to, and then we can have an official start time in mid-August or something like that for Bayonetta 2.
Yeah, that sounds good. I think I'm almost done with one, actually, because it's one of those games I pick up. I'll get stuck on a boss because I don't want to lower the difficulty. And then I will come back to it, beat that boss for some reason, and then continue further into the game, and then end up not coming back to it for like 6 months or something. So
it's one of those games you have to remember how to play when you come back to it too.
And, yeah. And we're also trying to finish the entire Xenoblade series before
before two weeks from now.
And Live Alive comes out in like a week.
I downloaded them all. I downloaded all the Xenoblades with the intention of getting back into them, and nothing. Fall Guys. I've played Fall Guys. That's all I've played for the past 3 weeks.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong. If you're having fun, that's the biggest thing. So, So great news on the Bayonetta front.
I'm on chapter 6 in Bayonetta 1.
Okay, there you go. And so. This story I actually want to pull up because Nintendo purchased some kind of studio, like an animation studio. And this Dynamo. Animation studio is the same one that did the Pikmin shorts or whatever.
Yep.
For like
the they helped with Other M.
Got you. Okay. All right. Cool. Let's see. I know there's gonna. You got an article crawler? Okay, from The Verge.
Yep.
Perfect. I was checking Nintendo Life, but nothing was nothing.
Nintendo has acquired CG printing company Dynamo Pictures and will rename it Nintendo Pictures. The new subsidiary will focus on development of visual content utilizing Nintendo IP. So
they're making TikToks.
The company's IMDb page, motion capture work on Death Stranding and Persona 5, post-production work on Metroid Other M. So they've done animation and video games before, but it sounds like, I think this is a gear up for movies. I mean, that's what they're wanting to do.
Pokemon!
Yeah.
Yeah, no, more Pokemon?
I mean, like, we have Detective Pikachu, but like, it's sad that we're not getting a sequel. To that movie.
I thought they greenlit the sequel again.
Again?
I thought they did. I don't know.
That would be awesome. I don't know.
Let me look. I mean, even if it wasn't Detective Pikachu, even if they came up with something new, like give us that world again. All of the Pokemon looks so that movie made me more into Pokemon just because of how cool it was and how rad Pikachu looked, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that this is it's interesting, right? Because they're doing the Mario movie. And so they must have confidence moving forward that they can do other IPs. Or maybe they are just going to do shorts, you know, kind of like what they did with the Pikmin. And maybe we'll be able to watch those on the Switch or whatever in the next console will be. It's exciting and a little scary at the same time, because again, like what we're worried about with the Mario movie, those characters, if they don't speak complete sentences, and we're going to hear them do that for the first time. And most of Nintendo's IPs don't talk.
Yeah, I mean, what we've talked about what a Zelda movie could potentially look like. I mean, and Link is the silent protagonist. I mean, he always has been. Mm-hmm. So, like, and it's going to be different with the Mario movie, because Mario's been It's-a-me Mario and Wahoo and like the five lines that Charles Martinet does. I mean, that's kind of it. So all the comments that we've seen from Nintendo and stuff moving forward about this movie coming out says it's going to make sense when Chris Pratt speaks. Mm-hmm. So there's I don't know if they're just going to flip like Mario on its head and have it be something. I don't know. Is Chris Pratt going to be a player that becomes Mario? Like, I don't know, but they said it's going to make sense. So, I mean, they could possibly do the same kind of thing with more of their IP.
I mean, they did it with Pokemon with Ryan Reynolds and Pikachu. So they could do a similar take on it.
I just realized that we're probably going to see baby Mario in the Mario movie, because, you know, baby characters are like really big in Hollywood for some reason.
I don't want baby Mario. I want like a baby Yoshi.
Well, I'm saying we're going to see baby Mario.
Baby Yoshis are kind of ugly, though, unfortunately.
They're not. Don't talk about my baby Yoshi like that.
But we're also going to have Stoner Donkey Kong, too. So.
Oh, yeah. Wait. Seth
isn't Rogen's he Donkey Kong? Yeah.
Yeah, Seth Jack Rogen. Black is Bowser. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jack Black's going to sing. I mean, he has to. Like, you get Jack Black and he's not going to sing. Come on. But yeah, I mean,
we got to wait, 6 months?
December, right?
No, more than 6 months.
Or no, they delayed it. Did they delay it?
Until April. Spring. So
something like that.
We got 9 months left.
Detective Pikachu, there's been no official update since May of 2022.
It's a bummer. So, but also no update on the game either.
The quote.
Yeah, wasn't that supposed to come to Switch?
Yeah.
One sequel. And two.
Well, yeah. One and two.
Yeah, the second chapter.
I have the heaviest amiibo, which is Detective Pikachu.
Yeah.
That thing's not light.
I have a quote here.
It doesn't say who it's from. It says, I don't know if it's going to happen. I think we have to kind of just bury our hopes at this. Bury our hopes. I don't think it's going to happen. I really hope so, though. Honestly, it's such a huge fan. I'm such a huge fan, but who knows? I hope so. I don't know where the quote. It doesn't say. Above it's Smith said in an interview, but I'm not even sure who Smith is, honestly.
Justice Smith. He was the actor.
Oh,
that's my guess anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, there it is. There's his name. Justice Smith, the movie's lead. So there we go. No word yet, but maybe.
Sorry for the false hope, everybody.
Hey, it's all good. So I got an email here, you guys. We got an email, and I think it's gonna be kind of fun. Is there anything else you guys want to dig into before I get into this email here?
I don't know how you guys Kirby? Feel.
Oh yeah, the new Kirby thing.
What did Jesus say?
I was just gonna say, how do you guys feel about them acquiring this studio and turning it into Nintendo Pictures?
I think it's them.
Go
ahead, Josh.
No,
I think it's them trying to diversify, because handheld and home console have merged into one. I think they're even if they're not talking, like we spent all last episode talking about the worries we have as consumers with where they're going with the console. I think they can't afford a Wii U situation. The 3DS saved Nintendo through the Wii U kind of situation. I feel like they're diversifying with the partnership with Universal and the theme park and the kind of monetary sales that they can have of physical goods there in the store. I think they need to have an overhaul in their online store if they want to sell more merchandise like they are, because they can't even sell their own games very well if they have a limited launch when it comes to Xenoblade. that just their storefront checkout. But I think this is just them diversifying and trying to create safety nets for their investors that keep them happy and let them know that they can still be weird Nintendo if they can take risks, but calculated risk, I guess.
I'm wondering if it's potentially something for them to get their own streaming service going that maybe for Nintendo Switch Online members, maybe something that's exclusive to the Switch and that, I mean, you know, you've got these games really are for children. Right. I mean, that's the except for Bayonetta, unless you put on the Naive Angel mode. But for the most part,
four 30 plus year old men.
Right. Oh, thank you for saying 30 plus.
We're averaging out because Cheesy's not at 30 yet.
Oh, OK. That works. That 20, works.
29 on Monday.
I appreciate you. Hey, happy birthday. So but no, I wonder, I mean. We know Netflix and Microsoft got some deals going on this last week, and everybody's got their...
Capcom's been doing stuff because they have Resident Evil on Netflix.
Yeah, and I mean, Nintendo's IP is ripe for this kind of content. Like, in the 80s, we had tons of Mario shows. Those shows went, I mean... They were crazy big. I wouldn't miss an episode. And they were so bad, so corny, you know? And they progressively got better as they got into, like, Mario 3 and Mario World and that kind of stuff. But, I mean, even, like, Captain N, you know, they could grab some of their old, the old IP, plus start making some new stuff. I mean, they've got to be looking at Disney Plus and looking at, like, stuff like Pixar and whatever. If they... I mean, I know people that like literally
is the
have,
Super
like,
Mario show still on Netflix?
It's I know for sure one of them is on Paramount Plus, but I mean, okay. I know there are parents that have like Encanto on repeat all the time, you know, like Pixar movies.
What if Nintendo's next generation is fully streaming?
No.
Like you have Nintendo Plus, right? And you have streaming movies, TV shows, and games. Like, what if they're way... What if they go way into the future here? Instead of having a dedicated home console or dedicated handheld, they could still support the Switch, but then also have...
Just like a puck?
Their upcoming games. Yeah, like a puck. Or
I don't
trust even them to do even that. Just an app. It could just be an app.
I would trust Microsoft to do that right now with the way their streaming's going, but I don't trust Nintendo to do streaming.
That's
only.
That's like super forward thinking because we're going in the way of streaming games, right? Once we're getting there. We're getting there. It's happening now. We have xCloud, we have Luna, we have Stadia. It's not the right time yet, but we're getting there. Like, streaming is the next step. Like, we're gonna lose these dedicated consoles soon.
And you don't own your games. Yeah. You don't get to own them anymore.
I'm so mad that Assassin's Creed Liberation, I can't play Assassin's Creed Liberation anymore. Man.
It's unfortunate. It's really important.
I just want to know if they're going to be monetizing any of this new content or if it's going to be just in their Nintendo Online subscription. Because, I mean, they'll still be monetizing that way, but you'll get it because you are subscribed. Or if they'll just kind of upload it to YouTube, kind of Poketoons kind of thing.
What for the Pikmin stuff, they just had it on 3DS, right?
Yeah, I think it did get uploaded to YouTube on there.
It's all on YouTube. I've turned some of those clips into TikToks, and they've done very well.
Maybe like, people very well. Don't really know about it.
Yeah, and they look fantastic. Yeah. Like, they look super good. I would highly recommend going and checking out the Pikmin short. Like, they made me laugh. Like, the way, like, I think if I remember correctly, like some Pikmin get stuck in a pipe and the other ones are, I don't even remember, but like, it's very well done. It's kind of like watching Minions, honestly. So
yeah, a lot of the Pikmin have personality.
Exactly. Yeah. Very.
Maybe they learn. Maybe they learn from Illumination with their collaboration with them for Mario.
I mean, I still think the Goombas are going to be the minions of the Mario world. I mean, they already are minions, but
maybe
like,
they'll just put minions in there. Do like a Mario plus minions thing.
That's at Johnny Bo.
I feel like I've said a lot today that people are not going to be happy with an all streaming Nintendo ecosystem. You don't own your games.
I mean, do we really anyway?
True. I mean, you don't own your movies anymore, really. You kind of can if you want to, but most stuff anymore. I have DVDs down in a Rubbermaid down here. I have more recent stuff. If I buy it physically, I'm buying it and instantly adding it to Movies Anywhere. So if I want to watch it, that's a way to do it. But the first instance that I do, if my kids want to watch a movie or I have something that I want to watch, I go to Google and it's like streaming and I type in the name of the movie and see, because I'm subscribed to all these different freaking things. I have Paramount, I have HBO, I have Peacock, I have like all that stuff. So it's like, I own all these things. Can I watch a movie that I want to watch? And if it's there, then great. If not, then you have to either go buy it on Amazon and add it to your Movies Anywhere or whatever. But I mean that is something interesting to explore. Like I have a wall full of Switch is probably the one I've gone in the most on just collecting games. But there is something to be said with specifically, I guess, the Xbox ecosystem. When you buy something, it's there and it's yours, and they're doing their best effort to keep it there for the longest time. If we move to a streaming service for games, I mean, stuff comes in and out of Game Pass, but the stuff that comes in and out is not necessarily something you're missing out on, I guess, if you don't want it, and you get a discount to buy it, I guess. But if the big stuff from Xbox stays there, it's always there. If we can have that, Nintendo, I don't know if would ever move. Johnny, you're funny thinking Nintendo would move forward with that and not have us buy Super Mario for like the 18th time, because we've all bought it on Wii. We paid the dollar to upgrade it to Wii U.
We didn't buy it on Switch, right?
We bought
it's in the
you're paying
Switch
a monthly
online
service for it. But then we bought it on 3DS, and yeah, I mean that's kind of funny that we think that Nintendo would do that. But
if I ran Nintendo, that's where I would suggest
that is the easiest future-proof solution, I guess, to it. If they can ever branch out Nintendo Switch Online a little bit more and start offering more stuff, they've only added to Nintendo Switch Online; they haven't taken away. So, I mean, I guess that's one positive to it. Yet.
Mario 35.
True. But I guess that technically was part of NSO, but not necessarily part of the console apps that they have.
I'm worried about feedback on this one, man.
Speaking of the Nintendo Switch Online and the expansion pack, Pokemon Puzzle League is out now. So if you're a fan of Tetris Attack, Pokemon Puzzle League takes things to the next level. You're playing within cylinders. It is honestly a fantastic sequel. And we actually get the real game instead of just the Japanese one because of the word Tetris
the licensing
being in it, which is unfortunate because I love Tetris Attack. Like
Tetris Attack is one of my favorite games like ever.
It's so fun.
Many good memories. I even played Puzzle League. I played Pokemon Puzzle League on Game Boy a ton. Mm-hmm. I never played the N64 version. I'm assuming it's the same thing.
I only played the 64 version, but I remember just being like, when you're playing in around a cylinder, the whole, like all your pieces are going around a cylinder. It was kind of next level, and it was a lot of fun. So I'm excited to excited to fire that one up. So, but we got a fun question, and I had an idea since I got this email. I'm doing a lot more solo shows, and I thought it would be kind of cool to include the community more. And one of the ways we could do that is by you guys sending in video of you asking questions, giving comments, and we can, I believe, with a little bit of
movie magic,
production magic, yeah, movie magic. Yeah. We should be able to make it work. I'll have to see for sure, but I already have a solution. I'll just have to upload every video as unlisted to YouTube and then share them that way. But if that's something,
there should be an app that we can. I think of what was IGN using that was free.
Audio into Restream. I could do it like via Discord or something like that if we weren't in Restream. But so there are ways to do it. But yeah, if you guys are interested in something like that, you can email, like you can drop the video in like a Google Drive and then email that link or DM that link, and gives you guys an opportunity. If you have your own channel or whatever, you could even kind of shout that out. It's just a way that we can kind of help support you guys a little bit better while we take your questions and comments via video form. So and it's also when I'm doing the solo videos, it'd be a great way to fill some space as well. But this is from Casey. I'm not going to say the last name just because I don't know if they want me to. And the subject line is Star Fox. Okay. And it says, "Hi, Josh and Nintendo PowerCast peeps. I have a question for you guys. What is your favorite Star Fox games and what are your thoughts? Mine would definitely be the Star Fox 64 from the Nintendo 64 console system, just because I like the 90s kind of quality based on music, graphics, etc. You guys are awesome. Casey." So, favorite Star Fox crawler, and why is it Star Fox 2 on this NES Classic?
Oh god. That should have stayed in the vault.
I'm trying to think, like, I've mainly just played 64. Like, I've played, you go back and play Super Nintendo, like, it I think in essence it's the same game, right? They just isn't, because it's Cornelia. It's a lot of the same level design, right?
It's similar.
There's just got upgraded quite a bit.
Similarities, yeah.
I have it on my 3DS. I own it. I haven't really played it there. I mean, I'm sure that's probably the better, quote unquote, better way to play Star Fox 64. But I mean, Star Fox 64 is, it's just a, it's a complete pack. Like when you played it on back in the day, you had to sit down and play it. There was no, unless you paused it and left the system on, because there was no saving the game. You had, and that was, I think, part of the dawn of figuring out like mission complete versus mission accomplished and going the different path. I don't know if I've even played all the levels in Star Fox 64, because there's those different paths that you can go, and the different criteria that you have to meet while you're doing it, like to activate the different paths to the different planets. I think it's cool that there's different boss fights based on how you do that. I mean, Star Fox 64, I think that's kind of where the franchise peaked, honestly. And it's been, because it's been different. I mean, they've gotten,
they don't know what to do with it.
They don't know what to do with it. They've gotten creative every single time. And it's been, because what Star Fox Adventures was more ground-based stuff, right? Like,
out of the R-Wing, based on another, like that was another game that they put a Star Fox skin on.
And then what was the Wii U disaster?
Star Fox Zero.
Yeah.
I think Star Fox Zero, if they would port that to the Switch, it would be better. They just have to fix the controls. The controls are so weird in that game, because you're using the game pad to like aim, and but you're trying to control the ship with this. It's very hard to,
because you're sitting
But then like you have to look on the other screen to see what you're doing. So it's just very weird. So if they would port that to Switch or bring that to another console without those controls, I think it would land better. I think again that was a very safe Star Fox game itself. Like it played a lot like 64 and had the same type of level structure as that. But I don't know, my favorite, I mean, the most experience I had is with the GameCube stuff. So I played a lot of adventures. I played the Assault, right? Star Fox Assault. That's the other
one. Yeah. And I'm watching videos of that right now just because it's not one that I've ever touched, but it looks like it would have totally been my jam.
That one was pretty cool because you weren't only in the ship, you also got out of the ship, landed on you know, bases and stuff. I don't remember that much, but I do remember playing as Fox, and I always thought that was cool, seeing the actual character outside the ship. I thought that was a good idea.
Yeah.
I think they have concepts that they could use, and now that we have a more modern platform, like I don't want to be on rails in 2022. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to have an open experience where you could just fly around kind of like Starlink. Or, you know, even No Man's Sky.
Yeah. I mean, Starlink, if they gave that team at Ubisoft, like, some more direction, it was a targeted Nintendo Switch only kind of thing for Star Fox, gave you the option to get out of the ship as opposed to just the hover mode or whatever, and gave it some purpose with, like, there's so many characters in Star Fox with Wolf and James and, I mean, Slippy and Peppy and all, I mean, all that stuff that they have in the history. And what's her name? I forget. There's some of the other
Crystal.
Some of the
other, isn't it Crystal?
Yeah. I mean, they keep introducing characters. Like, they could just expand upon it.
I mean, I know we've talked about it before, but Star Fox and F-Zero crossover, like, just have Fox McCloud and Captain Falcon in this buddy-buddy adventure, but you get to learn about the F-Zero world, and then you can also go up and learn about the story of Star Fox.
Do a barrel roll!
And then Falcon Punch at the same time. It just sounds like a cool idea because both of those IPs aren't being used right now, but you can have adventures on the ground for the F-Zero portion of it and still kind of be in a race and then go up and kind of No Man's Sky, I guess, kind of with the Star Fox. The best Star Fox that never happened was Star Fox Grand Prix. Like, that sounded amazing to just...
Maybe they saw the interest in that, like, fake leak, and they're like, all right, we should actually make it now.
Yeah, that's what Retro's
to be excited about it.
Well, like, what's the name of whatever space fleet they fly for? Is there a name for...
Isn't it...
Space Fleet?
I mean, like, their organization... Do they have an organization name?
That's the name.
Star Fox.
I'm looking it up right now.
Space.
Like, I mean, give some more backstory to, like, there's art, like we talked about, there's characters, but like build some more lore and like substantial story behind it. And let them
Cornerian fleet.
There you go. Yeah. But like that main ship that you launch out of, like before every mission, like have that be a hub that you can walk around and explore and upgrade your R-wing and or take out the sub or take out the landmaster and have different. I mean, the weapon add-ons that were in Starlink were a little over the top, I think, with how much they could swap out and do stuff. But like that same kind of customization, add that into kind of a hub prep before every mission kind of thing, and
make it like Star Wars Squadrons.
Yeah.
Like that would be a really cool game in the Star Fox world.
Find a way to make four player on like co-op happen so you can have actual wingmen and the four of us could play together and go through a mission and really do something.
I mean, that's what I was going to say is like, sorry, Josh.
One thing. Get it out.
I triggered a smile on his face.
Yeah, I saw that too. They have a Star Wars IP and it's Star Fox. Like if they really wanted to do something with it, just kind of go in the direction of Star Wars. Not that you have to like copy everything, you know, you have your own
a baby fox.
You could do that. Yep. but it's there. I mean, the potential for a space adventure is there.
I think Andross needs to become a better boss because Wolf is a better enemy than Andross, I think. Because it's more ship to ship versus shooting Andross in the hands. I mean, I don't know.
Let's go big. Let's go big. First, I will say this about Star Fox. Huge fan of the series. Loved the Super Nintendo and the FX chip, all that stuff. That was such an incredible time in gaming. Like, being a young kid at that time and the different marketing material, all that stuff, Star Fox was huge.
Hard to go back to now, though.
And little tough, yeah. But then 64, like, really carried that torch, you know. And then, for me, I ended up really enjoying, like, the DS game, even though it was touch
wasn't
controls.
Like a strategy game?
Command one?
Yeah, it's one of the few games I remember. I had one of those pack of games that would hold like four games or whatever, and it fell out, and I lost it somewhere, or left it at a camp or something. But since I think I have Command again, I think it's still in my collection. But I remember having like you would like use the stylus to draw out your flight path, how you wanted to go, and that kind of stuff, and it still played well. It still played like a Star Fox game. Was excited for Zero and was left like, I was like, I can't do this. Like, it just didn't do much for me. Starlink was fantastic. I love what you guys are saying. I'm still ready for Nintendo to take the leap into some free to play stuff. And what if that could be Star Fox? What if it was, like there's a number of routes they could go. One, it could be somewhere where we do some like large scale dogfighting, and that could be between planet and space, and you could upgrade your ships. You could create your own animal character that could be somewhat like in the Star Fox universe. And
yeah, your mouth just has to move like this. And
exactly.
And words come up on the screen. That's
it. Yep, exactly. And so, you know, really, really kind of exploring that. I really like what you guys said about Starlink though, and just letting that Ubisoft team make a Star Fox game. But I just wonder about large scale dogfighting and maybe, I mean, it doesn't have to be like, we could think outside the box with this a little bit. It could be, we are different factions, and for each month, the factions go and have to fight over space. And
only for 1 week. Only for 1 week, and well, you
maybe,
only
okay. Maybe a week, yeah. maybe a week is what it is. But I mean, but
too soon, too soon.
But if it was done well enough, and if it was large scale enough, the battles could take place in the air and on the ground, where your character could get out and maybe a little more Fortnite style. You know, I don't know. I don't know how it looks. We're obviously just spitballing and speculating at this point, but. But what a fun IP to really open up and take it to a whole nother level they don't mind taking risks with the series because they've done so many crappy games. That's the sign that they're not afraid to take risks, right? Because they're putting Fox on the ground. They're I feel like Assault was pretty well received. I think Assault was pretty well received, and people really enjoyed that one. So
that's probably why
it was.
I'm pretty sure it was Rare.
because it was sold.
I think Adventures was rare.
They were sold. Oh,
I think you're right.
It was like Dino Planet or something.
It was a Namco game, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think Johnny's right. I think it's Adventures.
But yeah, I think I'll go back one
developed
more page
by Namco, here. Published by Nintendo for GameCube.
Yeah, that's what I thought because Rare had been sold at that point to Microsoft. So
the game was promoted at Blockbuster.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, so they don't even have an internal teams make these games.
It seems like Star Fox has been farmed out quite a bit, you know. Yeah. So
the Fortnite idea really sounds cool though. Just getting a bunch of people in this one area, you can fly around or you can be on the ground, you know, it's kind of like your own little world of what you want to do. Maybe there's like a section where it is competitive, or there's just, you know, if you just want to hang out with people, that kind of thing.
A social aspect. Well, and I wonder too, like if it was, you know, again, almost like a Titanfall kind of thing where you run around until you level up enough to get your ship, and then you've got ships going around, but maybe there's also like some mechs within the world that you could get into, so you can still shoot the ships out of the air, right? Like, so to keep things balanced. Again, we're just all in speculation town right now, but it is a beloved series to me, and I would love to see it back on top again. I mean, it was a hype thing. Like I said, when the first one launched, everybody was talking about Star Fox because it was just like, and I remember, like, I don't remember how, but I remember, like, I got that game at launch. I was like, I don't know if I saved some birthday money or what it was, but it was like, this is a must play for me. Being such a huge fan of Star Wars, I needed to play Star Fox and loved every minute of it. Like, very well done.
It's actually kind of fun how that the game actually came to PAL, because didn't the developer pitch it to Nintendo? Like, it was some...
The first one?
Yeah, the first one. I think it was, you know, developed by... Or they had the graphics chip working and Nintendo got involved and they said to use animals, essentially.
Uh-huh. I think you're right.
Yeah, it says it was an arcade-style rail shooter and third-person action-adventure game series created by Shigeru Miyamoto, while produced and published by video game company Nintendo. But that doesn't mean it didn't start somewhere else. No,
developed by Nintendo and Ognot Software.
Yeah, Ognot. They're the ones that pitched it.
Gotcha.
Okay. I think I was watching something. I think it was something on Netflix. They were talking about, it was about the development of it. And Miyamoto told them use animals. Like, it was just going to be, you know, a space shooter kind of like Star Wars. And then, you know, Miyamoto said, we got to use animals.
Well, think about the puppets. You guys remember the puppets?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, that was the fun Nintendo Direct era.
That was it really
Where are the directs? Where are the directs? I'm sick of these 9 a.m. tweets. Like, it's not fun. It's not fun.
Oh, it's 6 a.m. for me.
You're already awake when the tweets come out, Johnny.
Yeah.
We're like, I get that notification. Like, I have notifications on Nintendo, and it could be really anything at this point. But, like, the hype.
Bayonetta was Tuesday morning, right?
Yeah. Like, Bayonetta, and then Kirby was, I think, the day before, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Kirby, then Bayonetta.
Yeah.
Like,
and they sent out their business email before their tweet.
If you have this stuff, like, ready to announce,
That's not enough.
How disappointing would that direct be?
Yeah, because you already know.
All right, so you have Kirby announced, right?
Right, but you already know that
nobody would be hyped for that in the direct.
But you have Bayonetta release. Give us more Splatoon info. Give us more Xenoblade info. Give us more Pokemon info. Like, that they could build out a direct.
Pokemon will be its own direct. They did a direct for Xenoblade. Splatoon will get one.
Really off the cuff here. Content for Strikers.
That would, I mean,
blow everybody's mind because nobody's expecting
it. No, it wouldn't.
Well, since you brought up Splatoon, there is a tournament tomorrow for Splatoon 2.
They announced the Splatoon OLED last week.
There was one going on last
weekend. They announced the OLED last week. They could have put that in direct. It's easy.
I was on YouTube randomly over the weekend, and there was like Splatoon championships or whatever going on. Is that progressing to this weekend?
Yeah, that's for tomorrow.
Week 2 of Mario Kart.
Yeah, Mario Kart tracks.
There's so much info that they can put it in. There's so much info.
But it's not enough. No, I don't think so, man. Because like
4 months, 5 months.
Yeah, but we know about all of the stuff that has been announced.
They can show us Breath of the Wild stuff too.
No, they're not going to show us Breath of the Wild stuff until next year.
Mario Kart DLC Mario Kart pack. 9.
Yeah, DLC.
Well, yeah, DLC. But that's maybe 3 minutes
out now.
Yes, out now. It would be.
They could have done they could have combined the direct, the partners direct too.
They should have combined the partner direct. Yes.
No.
And then added a Star Fox free to play game that we just invented. And
Metroid Prime 4, like show that too. Like, what are you doing?
But I mean, real talk though, Metroid is like that IP to create our own hunter or our own bounty hunters. And have some kind of like free to play aspect with that. I mean, they did Hunters back in the day on
just DS. Arena shooter going.
Yeah,
there's the rumor of Metroid Prime remake and
just the first one
and Twilight Princess and Wind Waker. Like, if they announce that next week, they could have saved that for a direct. Like,
true. I will give you that. We were talking about the hype cycle.
Yeah. Everybody gets hyped about a Nintendo Direct. Well,
let's talk about this as well, because next year, hopefully we're all going to be together in June, because E3 is coming back. So I think the plan will be for us, hopefully, to all be together on the floor. Like, I think
nothing like embarrassing crawler in person.
Yeah.
Introvert meets extrovert. I think like last year everyone had their kind of cut together, and there was enough in place that last year when everything went to hell, they had enough ready to go. This year has kind of proven that there was no target anywhere. And Xbox had a show. PlayStation has kind of taken the route of Nintendo as of late, where they're just randomly dropping tweets as well. The fact that Ragnarok got announced with a tweet, it's
I mean, that's all directs are anyway. People get hyped for the DLC.
Nate said a direct of just DLC, Mario Kart tracks and remasters.
That sounds awesome at this point. We have nothing. It is dry for Nintendo right now.
What are you talking about? Oh my god, dude.
It's month after month after month. They have releases coming out.
They're not promoting the game. Like,
no, but they don't need to.
About Xenoblade Chronicles, like 20 times a day.
They tweeted again today. They tweeted again today about it.
Look, I don't even know where this conversation has gone. We are getting Sparse of Hope and Bayonetta in October.
They should have had Sparks of Hope in a direct. They should have had Bayonetta in a direct.
Live Alive next week.
There's gonna be something in December. We don't know what's in December.
That's gonna be Metroid.
It was supposed to be Breath of the Wild, and it got
delayed. Don't really know anything about Splatoon 3 either. It just looks like Splatoon 2 at this point.
That's what I was trying to say, man. I think that there's going to be some kind of announcement, or at least there should be, at the end of the Splatoon 2 tournament, because this is going to be the last Splatoon 2 tournament, assuming. Like, I can't imagine that they're going to have any more, so that will be like ramping them into Splatoon 3.
Nady Nay from the Xbox Now podcast is just, he's just like, no.
What production? They just slap trailers together. What production? They just take the trailers that they have in the tweets and just put them together and have like a voiceover guy. Like, it's not that big of a production value.
It's not puppets.
They don't do puppets. They don't have Robot Chicken in here anymore. You know?
Yeah, the good old days.
But did you really want to see Bayonetta like in
Naive the... Angel? Yes, I wanted that on the direct.
It's so fun getting ready for directs. It's so fun.
I agree,
everybody is having fun.
Yeah, but you already know about it. That basically is just the release date. It's like, okay, this is cool. We have the release date, but like, what is coming out? What's new?
Oh, MLB The Show 22 is free next week.
Put that in the
tomorrow.
That'll make people happy.
Mario Kart tracks. Like, where the heck are the Mario Kart tracks? Nintendo Switch Sports information. Like, what? That's dead too. Advance Wars. They have
GoldenEye,
the next
which is
Fire
in limbo.
Emblem game. They have Mario Odyssey 2.
I definitely think that there is a lot around the corner because we know of everything that they've already announced. And who knows, maybe there is still more coming out this year that they haven't told us. But like, next year should be big. We don't know anything of next year other than Breath of the Wild is supposed
and
to be coming out early.
They can tease it.
You just gotta go listen to Nintendo NPR, Johnny, and I'm sure they'll talk about stuff.
But September,
they're promoting another episode of their podcast.
It's too early right now.
It's been 5 months.
It was much longer during the pandemic.
I think you're okay.
This is my favorite. I love that Johnny is off the rail. He's like, I've had it. Give me a first party.
I have turned into the Twitter comments.
And that's why that is exactly why they don't have a direct, because they're tired of people asking for when is the next direct. Here's your tweet. Quit asking.
I guarantee if I go to the Twitter account,
I'm curious as the numbers of what they're getting with
there would be so many more eyes on everything, like live alive.
Johnny, live just alive, give them 40k and ask them a question.
Like booty, man. Live alive is going to sell like booty because they tweet
not.
About it once.
It's a JRPG. Come on, man. You're smarter.
I think Square. Square
top
yeah, it's
10.
Not gonna hit. It's not gonna hit top 10.
Bet on that one. You want to bet on that one? They've been tweeting a lot about Fall Guys. So
I mean the Bayonetta 3 like tweet from this morning has 30.8 thousand likes on it. Like that doesn't have a lot of eyes compared to how many people would watch. Direct. I mean, it's an interesting.
Oh my god! Another Bayonetta game. This is getting absolutely ridiculous. It's been nearly 3 years since we got a new mainline Fire Emblem game, and they give us another Bayonetta game. Really tired of Nintendo abandoning their IPs like this.
That was a Twitter comment.
That was my brain.
That's Johnny putting that out there.
No, that was a Twitter.
But comment. That's how the internet thinks, though.
Oh, all right.
Okay, well.
Let's not end on that.
This is what I'm going to say. Go to Patreon, subscribe, because our NPC Wired, is fired up right now, is going to be off the rails. So thank you guys so much for being here. Thank you for listening. We are doing the show only on YouTube now. The NPC is only happening on YouTube at 9 p.m. Pacific. And same with the mini episodes. They're only on YouTube. So if you want to be a part of those, I've got a lot of different irons in the fire with work. But moving forward, I'm going to try to do a 9 a.m. NPC every day, just the little mini ones. So so we'll see. We'll see what happens. And then after that show, an Xbox Now episode as well. So we love you guys. Thank you for hanging with us. Thank you for being here. And we will see you next week. Bye, everybody. ¶¶